Welcome to Going Beyond Medicine with Elaine Grohman. Conversations with people who are working to make a difference in our world. Now here's your host for Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Elaine Grohman on Empower Radio, and my show is Going Beyond Medicine, and our focus of this show is to help to bring people to the airways who are really doing things that are bringing important changes to our world. And I am completely delighted and honored to have not only a friend, but really a community leader here with us today. My friend Todd Lippa has worked tirelessly for the past 20-some years for the Farmington Hills Youth Program. And he is the most recent recipient of the USA Network and Bright House USA Unites Award, which is really quite significant because there was only 10 recipients in the whole of the country. So to have Todd here with us to tell us the work that he is doing with the kids of our community and helping to bring families together is such an important thing. Todd is the program director of the After School Youth Center program in Farmington Hills. So, Todd, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, thanks, honey. So I wanted you to tell your story a little bit, Todd. How is it that you began doing the work that you are doing now with kids? And tell us where your vision goes. We have an hour to talk, but I know there's so much to share, so please.
Well, I'm going to go back so people understand, too, that it just didn't start one day because I thought I wanted to work with kids. Mm-hmm. When I was very young, I had a tragedy. I lost my mother at the age of 10. She was a young woman of the age of 40. Mm-hmm. So that tragedy hit me pretty hard. But I had some great people, and that's what I was surrounded around, with. I just had a net of that I could fall into and being held by so many different adults. And that's where I really started to understand that you can't be upset and angry. You have to depend on those people to be your guides.
Yes.
So very early on, I had some great coaches, some great teachers that I got to spend a lot of time with. Some of them I lived over the summers with. Some of them I spent part of my life with. A couple of them, like John Urquhart and a few others who were very important, were always there for me. But it was coaches mainly. It's people that I hung with the most were my coaches from middle school into high school. And it was a great experience. So I can remember back in the early 70s when I played for Power Middle School at that time. Now Power was Power Junior High back then. We were driving home, and my grandmother, who was a tough little Native American Indian lady with a little bit of Irish and a few other things. So put all
what could be wrong, darling, if she's Irish and Native American?
Put all that together, and you've got a pretty spunky lady.
That's right.
But she would drive us from place to place, and I can remember her saying, I wish I had a place just to drop you guys off where you could hang out and play, not have to drop you off at a restaurant. And years later, I had the amazing opportunity by Nancy Bates to be invited to be part of the Commission on Children, Youth, and Families. And when the Children, Youth, and Families Commission started way back in the early 90s, she asked me to chair that.
So does people know Nancy Bates was the former mayor of Farmington, correct?
She was. She was a council person when I first met her, became mayor, and then finished her time in Farmington Hills as a mayor and council person once again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a dynamic woman.
Very dynamic. She is a visionary. If I've ever met a visionary, she's a visionary. She came up with the idea that our kids needed some focus, our families needed some support. We were seeing some demographic changes in the community with folks moving out, folks moving in, single families, moms needing support, some dads needing support. And Nancy's vision was to continue to support them by offering an after-school program. So back in 1993-94, we went after a grant. We received a grant in 1995 of October. And from that point on, the Youth Center program started that I've been able to be honored and fortunate to oversee for so many years.
Well, I want to share a little bit with our listening audience. In 1997, I was a hospice volunteer, and then I became a hospice employee, and I initiated a large garden at the hospice home, which is now unfortunately no longer there. However, I remember I wanted to bring the youth into, you know, understanding that death is normal. And I remember thinking, who can I call? Who can I call? I have like 3,500 bulbs to plant and 500 perennials to plant. And somebody in the city gave me Todd's name. And it was amazing because no matter what I needed, he would just say, what do you need? When do you need it? It'll be there. And so I've just, and then I found that you went to school with my younger siblings. So I just love that. Yeah. So, you know, I have just seen firsthand the, just the warmth and the camaraderie of you allowing kids to just let their hearts be seen to help those people because they need help. And we all need to know that we're part of a community.
And you're right. When you called, it was the easiest moments are when I can just go to the kids and say, can you help somebody out? Can you put your time into this? Can we take, if we load a van up, can we go over here and just help somebody in need? And I can, there's hundreds of stories over these 20 years plus that we could tell today. And mm-hmm. it'd be, people would be amazed at some of the things that kids started with. And we probably will share some of those stories.
So tell me about these kids and how are you affecting a change for them? And I know that through the, we'll talk about this a little bit later, about the USA Network Unites Award, but I know that nearly 12,000 kids have gone through your program. That's an astonishing, you're a daddy to a lot of kids. I mean, literally you are, because you're the male that stepped in when maybe they didn't have a male role model. And somebody to be a big brother or to be a dad figure or just a male to say, you're important.
Well, thank you. I'm not the only one. I don't have any of my own kids, but I've had many, many, many kids from either the youth center or my coaching career. I've been very fortunate. So kids are, you know, because of my background and because of what I needed when I was a kid, I'm trying to do that same thing. So that pay it forward kind of thing is really important. But you know what? The kids in the program from the time that I started in the early 90s and where I probably had my best education around kids. I had coached at Clarenceville Middle School. I had coached at St. Mary's of Orchard Lake for a while, met some great people, put some great athletes into some amazing college programs. But I really just was a football coach, and I don't mean that as a just. But I was coaching football, learning as much as I could about the game, trying to understand the game as best I could. But then when I came back to Farmington High School in the early 90s, the early 80s, I was asked if I would continue with not only coaching football, but we built a weight room in the Farmington High School, small little area where we used to walk out. Dave Catherman and I did some fundraising. We made some money. We were able to get the materials. We built this little tiny weight room. And a gentleman by the name of Mike Todoroff and Sue Kissinger were two teachers in special education. They came down and said, could you coach Special Olympics? And would you help us with Special Olympics? So we took the weight room and we started bringing him in a few kids at a time. And one of the kids in the program, who was 19 at the time, started using one of our machines where he learned to have upper body strength. And I can remember when his mom and dad walked over and said, Joey has never thrown a softball. He's always just put his arm out and dropped it. And this morning at the Olympic Summer Games, he threw a ball 28 feet.
Oh, Todd.
And that was probably the catch. And then traveling around, and I started coaching a softball team, and I had 15 guys that were between the ages of 15 and 24, 25 years old. And we traveled to 28 different states playing softball. And these kids became a very, very good softball team. But the game was just the vehicle that we were driving around trying to send a message. Mm-hmm. Our message through Special Olympics, through these 15 boys and the five coaches that traveled with us, was to understand that even though you may have a disability, maybe something you can't read or you can't do this, but you can work. And that's what they wanted to prove to the country, was that don't be afraid to hire someone with special needs. Hire them because they can possibly be your best employees you've ever had.
Yeah.
And I can still say today that those kids keep in touch. I see them all the time. Now they're in their 40s and 50s. They're not much different in age than I am. And You know, that was an experience that no one could ever take away from those 15 kids, and the parents even probably more. We had three uniforms. We had vans from Ford Motor Company, hotels given to us day after day after day. And the great part was every morning, wherever we were at, one of our kids would say thank you by giving a plaque to wherever we were.
Well, you know, on behalf of my family, one of my nephews is a special needs now young adult. He's in his 40s. And, you know, he is just so loving, so there. And I have to thank my sister Diane for the work that she's always done. But Special Olympics has really made a difference in his life. And his heart couldn't be bigger.
And it made a huge difference in mine. And when Nancy asked me to come on board, and I was invited by, at that time, the city manager, Bill Kostick, and then Steve Brock as my immediate boss. Talk about being blessed.
Mm-hmm.
I had just lost a job at the Detroit News. They had gone on strike in 1995, and the three of them asked me if I would step in to take the position as the director of Youth and Family Services and create this after-school program that we started. And then we just knew that we were going to touch many, many lives. We didn't have any idea how many, but we knew we would touch them.
Wow. So tell us about that after-school program. How would kids know about it? How would they, and it wasn't just for boys, it was boys and girls, right?
Yes.
In what age range was this?
The original was that we were looking at 11 to 15. It's pretty much stayed that way.
Middle school kids.
What happened back then, Elaine, was that we were looking at what were we missing. So mm-hmm. we did a pretty good job with the police departments of both Farmington and Farmington Hills, the school district, the YMCA, and the city itself. Took a strong look at what were the unmet needs of our community. What were we not seeing the need, or where were we seeing the need for our kids to be safer? Juvenile crime rates were starting to escalate a little bit. What we did was found that the families in need and the kids in need that the most were those middle school ages.
Yeah.
They had no place to go. They were causing to get a few things in the community that weren't good. Schools were having a little bit more trouble with them. And we noticed that many of them were just in need. And it didn't matter what family they came from.
Absolutely not.
You know,
they just need guidance.
They didn't
get
at that day, at that age, they just need some guidance and some support. So with the Commission on Children and Families and the community, we decided that we were going to go after this grant through the federal government. And mm-hmm. we received $400,000 to do the beginning of that program. The key to it, though, was not just to ask certain folks who are the best kids in our community. The key was go out and find a demographic of kids who were different. Mm-hmm. So we let the schools pick a few kids that would have been picked for anything. We let the community sort of pick a few kids, and then I said, let me do my magic and go out and find the kids who are just sitting on the curbs of the neighborhoods, the kids mm-hmm. who are the ones who never get picked for anything because no one wants them, and let me bring these 35 or 40 kids together. So we did that for a number of Saturdays back in 1995 and 6. And all of a sudden, the explosion happened of mm-hmm. kids being involved, kids having a purpose, kids of all different backgrounds, all different ethnicities, even back then we had few ethnicities. Today it's much, much more in Farmington Hills.
Sure.
But we needed to really get the voice of all the kids. So our hope was that we would open the center, the very first one at the Kostick Center in 11 Mile and Middle Belt, and have maybe 50 kids. That would have been success.
Right.
Open the doors, 97 kids walked through the door the very first day.
Wow.
I don't think we ever had less than that through the entire first half of the year from March of 1996 to today. To have 96 kids at the Kostick Center is a really slow day.
Wow.
We were averaging up in the 150 to 200 kids a day the first year. Today, Sherry, because we have five centers, Sherry has, who is our supervisor there, who does an awesome job, has anywhere from 130 to 150 kids per day. And the other sites altogether, about 300 kids a day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day. Well, I just want to, just for the listening audience, we're speaking with Todd Lippa, who is the program director for the City of Farmington Hills After School Youth Center Program, which is in Michigan. And what I want people to know is, please be in contact with Todd, because he has really set up a model that is so important and that needs to be replicated across the country. Because, you know, our kids are our future. And when kids, you know, kids are affected by what's happening in their parents' lives, whether their jobs have been downsized or they're just because of the situation at work or whatever happens to be. If they're caring for an elderly loved one, the parent has to be gone. And the kids, you know, sometimes can easily be slipped through the cracks. And we really need to make sure that they have adults around them that they can talk to, that they can, a place to go and be safe. And really, is there a place that, or a contact information, Todd, so that people across the world, literally, because this is podcast, so when this airs, it'll be available for people to listen to at any time. And I really would encourage people that are working with kids to get in touch with Todd, because he's exceptional at what he does.
Well, thank you. You can absolutely get a hold of us by calling our main number at the After School Youth Centers, Youth and Family Services in Farmington Hills, at area code 248-231-8493. They can email me at tlipa, that's LIPA, at F as in Frank, H as in Henry, gov.com. And they can also call my cell phone. I give my cell phone to kids all the time because you never know. It could be 2 o'clock in the morning when someone needs you. But if someone wants to get a hold of us by cell phone, they can call 248-231-8493.
Thank you, Todd. And you know, I was very blessed to be invited when Todd was recognized by USA Network and Bright House. I want to talk about that incredible award that you received. And I know that you're always so cognizant that it's not just you doing it. But, you know, sometimes we just need to have a face that is affiliated with this. But in 2015, Todd was selected from I don't know how many people across the country, probably thousands of people. And to be selected and to receive this is really quite an important thing, because it's about improving lives and strengthening our community. And that is essential for our world, because our children, first of all, they're children for a very short time. And you're working with kids that are in that delicate balance that they're still kids, but they want to have their autonomy. They want to have their voice. They want to find their place. And when you're working with somebody like Todd and the whole wonderful group of people, you know, these kids know that, you know, we can step forward no matter what situation we're in. We're not defined by that situation.
Absolutely. You are not defined by a situation that might be short term.
Yeah.
You really have to look at life, even though it's a blink, no matter how long you live on this great earth, it is a blink, but you have to make sure that even when your toughest times, that someone out there will help you to have strength to get through to the next step of your life. It's just a matter of walking the life, and it's a beautiful place to walk, and you're going to have good days and bad days, and days you wish you never had to even think about. But you're going to have days that catch you, just feel like the most blessed person on earth.
Yeah. And you know what's so beautiful is in the few short years that you're working with these kids, you're giving them the groundwork to know that in probably less than a decade, they too will be parents.
Yes.
And how are they going to be the leaders for their children? Because decades go by very quickly. Well, and lifetimes go by very quickly.
They do. And you know, it's the greatest gift in this job, with, you know, support staff that I have, like Kitty Ostash and Carol Livingston and all of my supervisors, from Sherry and Diane and just so many people. I have been so blessed to have an incredible staff, and I can't take the credit for all of this by any means.
Oh, of course not.
But they, you know, I have had staff that's been with me for 15, 16 years. And most of my supervisors have been with me 8 to 10 years at the least. And every day they go out there and work with these kids and give them the opportunity to be kids and support them. You know, and I have an incredible staff mixture. I have a group of mature adults, as I call them, about a third of my staff, who are the moms and the dads, and they understand the ups and downs of a kid. Mm-hmm. And then I have an incredible group of high school kids who are caring kids who are thinking about going into maybe education or juvenile justice crime somehow, or going into the police force, the FBI. Those kind of things happen with us. Some of our kids who have been at that age have walked into youth ministry. Some have walked into counseling. Some have walked into being teachers. So that's a very cool age.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about some of the programs that have blossomed from what you have done. You know, Girl Power, Guide Time, Boys to Men, the Outdoor Nature Program. Can you talk about some of those things that have just been blossomed from what you initiated?
Yeah, those are ideas that came from kids. Or we see a need in the day-to-day operation. We see a need that the kids could really benefit from. So like Guy Time is a program, and Guys or Boys to Men is a Lou Brookins program that he brought to us. Lou is a very experienced gentleman who has put a lot of time and energy with kids all over the Metro Detroit area. We were fortunate enough to meet him, and he had brought a program idea to us of really getting into working with our boys. And Lou is a gentleman who is an African-American who understands the changes in our community, who understood that there were boys that of that background that just needed some really good time with him. And Lou understands him, and they understand Lou. So he has a great program every Tuesday where he spends an hour to 2 hours with the boys. Girl Power was a great. Cynthia Lutz ran that program for us for many, many years. Just recently, Cynthia had to step down. But Girl Power is another one where the kids design the program. They come up with the classes that they should talk about for 8 to 10 weeks. And then each week they discuss those things. Our outdoor program, Bonnie just does a great job of getting the kids outdoors every day. We did that program as an initiative with Alan Hevner of Hevner Canoes, who started it with us and did a great job of putting that together. And we try to get the kids at least a couple of days a week outdoors to understand nature. And that's probably become more important today.
Oh, absolutely.
With technology. It's,
you know, we have to really teach children that they're a part of this world. And, you know, I would like to be more involved with what you're doing with helping kids understand their connection to the living world, because they're going to be the stewards in the future. And, you know, to understand that we don't want to leave this horrible mess behind for them to clean up. So if they understand what they can do, and kids just know.
They absolutely do.
They just know, you know, pick up your trash, do what you need to do. Yeah. You know, and I also want to talk about, I know when you had that beautiful award ceremony, that there was a precious young woman there that you kind of helped who had physical disabilities. Can you tell us about her? Because that was just so moving.
Well, that was one of my early Special Olympics stories. That this young lady, we were skiing at the time, and we were riding up the chairlift, and I saw this young lady falling and crying, and we went down to help her, and she ends up having cerebral palsy in all four limbs. She was a special education student in the special education classes at Farmington High School, or at that time at East Middle School. She was 11 years old and just having all these difficulties. And I went down, skied with her, and got to know her a little bit. And Cheryl Stumball is an incredible story herself. If you ever get a chance, you should have her on. She's an amazing young woman. She is in her mid-30s now. She was a strong-willed young woman. There was nothing, even in school, in her high school years, she would fight to make sure that she was given the rights to get educated. She went on and graduated from high school, took her full degree from high school at Farmington High, then went on to say to me, I'm going to go to college. And, okay, it's, you know, I had to even be convinced, to be honest with you. And she went off to Oakland Community College at the Orchard Ridge campus. Took 7 years to get through there, but with strong support from all of the counselors there and teachers and administrators to help her get through. She was a graduate with her associate's degree, went on to Madonna for another couple of years where they supported her, got her through that. And then just a few years ago, she graduated from the University of Michigan Psychology Department with a degree, and just this past December, in January, she got the notification that she had passed the bar, the classes, whatever you have to take, and she is a full-fledged licensed social worker today.
Wow. Here in the state, all because you saw somebody that needed some help. You just never know. We never know, Todd.
When we just
step forward and say, "Can I help you?" How that your heart just opens up, and you give people what they need, which is somebody's time, someone's attention, someone's love. And with 12,000 kids that you've helped, and I'm sure that from that, it's just been an explosion of what those 12,000 kids have done to others and helped others. Yeah. It's phenomenal.
Well, Cheryl's a prime example. And if someone out there is listening, if you want someone who understands kids with special needs or kids with multiple disabilities or kids who come from dysfunctional families, she has had all those education pieces and those tools added to her life. She is out there looking for a job. It's sometimes it gets really difficult because she's also looking for a home to live in. But she wants and has in her 2 days a week that she gets to work for Oakland, Oakland Hospital, or now the Beaumont Hospital of Oakland. She is really wanting to work with kids that have been more like her. So well, if there's a place out there that's looking for a young woman,
we're going to have your contact information on the website for Empower Radio, and they'll be able to get in touch with you, and they'll be able to get in touch with her. Well, we're going to take a few minutes break, and we'll be right back. My guest is Todd Lipp. I'm Elaine Groman on Going Beyond Medicine with on Empower Radio.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy. Sassy.
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold.
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
Oh, this coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude, what happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six.
Ow.
Dude, what is
ow
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
Now back to Elaine Groman and Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Thank you and welcome back. I'm Elaine Groman. This is Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. My guest today is Todd Lipa, who is a program director for the city of Farmington Hills, which is in Michigan, because I know that this podcast and this will air all over the country. But Todd has just been very instrumental in working with the beginning and after school youth center program for children And since its inception, has it helped and to guide, along with his incredible staff, well over 12,000 kids from between 5th through 8th grade. And I want to talk a little bit with Todd about three in particular kids that have gone on who have been beneficiaries of the work there and what they have done. Can you share those three stories, Todd?
I would be honored to. You know, we've had many, many, many kids change career focuses, go into things that sometimes even make me just say, wow. But early on, we had one young man who had lost his dad and gravitated to our program, fit in our program perfectly. His name was David Kinchin. And from the age of about 12 years old, maybe 13 years old, David traveled to the National League of Cities with me, got to know mayors, got to know leaders of communities from all over the country. He was the first young man ever asked to be a part of the National League of Cities board. He did that at the age of about 16 years old. I can remember taking David to the airport and traveling by himself to go meet with a mayor. And he would fly to Florida or fly here, and he would be a part of a delegation for a weekend. And David spoke in front of the federal government to really push the idea. He and Nancy Bates went there and testified in front of the federal government to say, please put more youth programs in the country. Well, David's focus really became television. He loved being part of the television. Frank Turner at the time was a Channel 7 anchorman.
Right.
Gave him tons of information, brought him into the studios, taught him a little bit about it. And then David, for many years, while he was in the youth program and then into the Mayor's Youth Council, which started as a spinoff of the after-school program with him, he decided that he was going to have his own television show. So at the age of about 13 or 14, David had his own TV show, and he would talk about kids' issues and go out and interview kids. And
wow.
He now is a young man in his 30s, and he is with the team out in Philadelphia. And we were just talking because he had the great honor to follow around the Pope and do some other really cool stories.
So isn't that awesome?
So that's where he went.
Oh, my gosh, Todd. That just must make your heart just burst with pride that that these kids are just, all they need is that little bit of a push and a little bit of somebody standing there steady with them.
It's pretty amazing. He's
Wow.
And then a second young, then I should say too, at that point when David got into high school, he was the first one to come to us and say, well, it ends when I leave middle school. So at 8th grade or 9th grade, I can't really be a part of the youth center anymore. What can I do different today? And he goes, can we start this Mayor's Youth Council? Again, Nancy Bates sees the need. She sees the high school need. So what does she do? She turns around and says to the kids, let's have a mayor's night. Let's talk to the mayor. And sure enough, we bring in both
Brilliant.
Mayors. Nancy Bates then starts a high school program that started with one council, which was the Farmington Hills Mayor's Youth Council. Now it's spun off to cities all over Michigan have youth councils, all over the state and country have youth councils. The National League of Cities still is doing a ton of initiatives around youth and the reason why we should support youth. That spun into a whole other program. And the Mayor's Youth Council is our high school kids. They meet twice a month, the first Monday of every month, and then a rotating day in the middle of the month. But that started in 1999 through David's initiative and some others. But a young lady came into the Mayor's Youth Council a few years later, and her name was Erica Vivian. And Erica was a Harrison High School student. And she was part of the Mayor's Youth Council. She became part of the Summer Dialogues for the University of Michigan, which if you're not a part of it and you're a city listening and you have some diversity in your community, get involved in it. Call Barry Checkaway out at U of M. Barry has done a beautiful job with his staff to put together Summer Dialogues. So there are 8-week sessions. You spend 2 weeks knowing your own ethnicity. So groups of kids are put together by ethnicity. You learn about yourself. And then you're put with a group of a different ethnicity. And for the next 6 weeks, you learn about each other.
That is brilliant.
It's an amazing
brilliant.
Program. So Erica was part of that in the early stages. And she thought and came into my office one afternoon and said, well, Todd, if we're doing this, why can't we do it in our own community? So Erica started meeting with adults. She led the meeting of adults. And one of the folks was Sue Servalik, who was at that time the superintendent of Farmington Public Schools. And Sue listened. Sue brought a team together. And this young lady led the initiative to start the Dialogues program in Farmington Public Schools.
Wow.
Her graduating year, when she had left, they had decided to make sure that those were going to be classes in the school. And today, it's an accredited class in Farmington Public Schools. 25 to 30 kids in class get together every year. It's a 12-week program. And they really talk about the differences of people and how do we understand each other and how do we live with each other so that we can really appreciate the quality of life. So in Farmington Hills, last I heard, we had about 110 languages spoken. And so when you have that kind of diversity and you have that kind of a blessing to have that diversity to learn from, you need to take full advantage of it. So our school district and our city, through the kids working together and the Multicultural Multiracial Council, have really stepped out in front to say, let's not be afraid of diversity. Let's embrace it. Let's take hold of it. And let's make it the best opportunity we can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have to see these gifts that each one of these cultures bring to make our whole lives much richer.
Yep.
And so, the third
young lady, her name is Ashka Soni. And Ashka is another one of those just gifted kids who had an idea, who brought it together, and who made it happen. And I just talked to her last night. She was flying back to San Francisco, where she's living right now, because she signed a great contract with Google, and she's working for Google. But
her
career started with the Mayor's Youth Council, being very involved. But she got involved in the business sector. She loved the idea of kids being able to develop their own businesses and being in the community doing that. So Ashka, what she did is turned around, and when she got into U of M and she was in the David Ross School of Business, she decided with a group of friends to start a program called DEN, the Detroit Entrepreneur Network. And probably now, 5 years later, as some new kids have taken it over, she started this small little business meetings in Detroit, and she was given some great opportunities to be in some of the businesses downtown and use their offices and use their conference rooms for trainings. And she brought kids from all over Metro Detroit. It started out with about 20, and I think now it's about 40 or 50 kids. And they learn how to create their own business. They learn how to market their own business. They have to do presentations in front of large audiences, and they have to then each year take their business idea, develop it, and then present it at the U of M Dialogues or the U of M DEN meeting. And those kids are able to win $500 to $1,000 scholarships each year.
Wow.
To start their own business.
You know, I'm just thinking, and I'm taking a note here, because my guest of next week is Dr. Sarah Lynn Mark, who is worked at the White House, and she was worked for the Department of Health and Human Services and was the first woman to be in charge of women's health. And she also is a NASA physician. Works for NASA. But she started this initiative, which really spawned my interest in doing these roundtables across the world, across the country, bringing kids and youth and girls in particular to help businesses and industry understand we need the voice of females, especially young women.
Yes.
So that we're going to get that organized. But the next thing that we really want to talk about, Todd, and thank you for sharing all of that, because we're going to put that on the website also so that people can see how can they get involved with the Detroit Entrepreneurial Network and the Dialogues and all the incredible things that all they needed was fertile ground to be able to blossom and to have that nourishment of adult love and supervision and care and encouragement to say, yeah, you can do it. And it's important.
Not much different than all the trees that we're looking at outside
right,
of the window of this
right.
beautiful
they
studio.
They just need the right conditions.
Someone had to plant them. Someone had to feed them. Someone had to water them. And somehow they grow and they beautify our country.
That's right. But really, Todd, I want to talk about this community initiative that you're trying to get off the ground that is so important for continuing this much needed care for kids and families. And I know that you're working with Ken Massey, who's doing things with kids that have either experienced suicide in their own families or unfortunately have threatened suicide or have committed suicide in their own lives. So could you talk about that, please?
Yeah, thank you. It's here's the downside of sometimes what you have to deal with, too. Ken Massey, Nancy Bates, and Randy Bruce, and myself, a while back, noticed that there was a real need. Nancy Bates, probably 10, 12 years ago, was noticing a change. The hardship of kids today is something that I think they even need more support today than we thought they needed 20 years ago. I think technology is a beautiful thing. I think being able to do some of the things we do today by just pushing a few buttons really is amazing. But there's also a negative side to that, I think. What we've experienced is more and more kids isolating themselves, not taking advantage of the outdoors, not taking advantage of being with groups of people. And it's not all, but it's definitely enough that we should be concerned.
Right.
And when we started to see that change in our kids, and we started to see more and more kids, especially those kids between the ages of about 12, 13 years old to about early, maybe the early 30s, really in that 25, 26 age range. And we had a number of kids that we were hearing about or in our own community taking their own lives. And that is probably the hardest thing that I ever have to deal with. No kid should take their life. Right. And that's where we were talking earlier, just those few steps, if you can get through that hard time. But they're not feeling like they're, you know, able to go out there and find that right job. They're not able to make the next step. They're not doing this or that. And unfortunately, they think that this moment has to end. And the trickle-down effect of something like that to the family, to the friends, to the people that knew that, even sometimes that outer circle person who still has to deal with it because they knew that person and it just hurt them to a point where they don't understand it. Mm-hmm. So Ken Massey and Nancy Bates and some others started SAFE. And SAFE is a program designated for kids and families who have tragically gone through those types of things. And hopefully to stop that is the key. So through the SAFE program of Farmington Hills. And SAFE is having community conversations and trying to figure out how we change that. And out of that has spun some other things that we have to understand. And one of the things that other communities might be dealing with is demographic changes and economical changes and affluencies in some communities that have had to go through the tough times of the early 2000s and mid-2000s. We all started to know different things were happening. So we in Farmington Public Schools and Farmington Hills and Farmington have noticed a little bit of a change that we want to stop before it can escalate. And that is to look at kids that are going to school that are free and reduced school lunch numbers have gone from years ago being in the 3% and 4% to about 25% to 30% today.
Oh my.
We've had more families falling on harder times in our community. Families coming in here that want to give their kids the best opportunity they can and their family the best, and then just falling a little bit short of doing that. And to no fault of their own, sometimes they just need a little extra support.
Yeah.
So, you know, our food pantry at St. Al's was one of our hopes that we could buy that property. We're not sure we can at this time. We think it might be sold. That was one of our initiatives to possibly buy that property, turn it into not only a food pantry as it is today, but also into a clothing pantry, educational facility where folks could come in and learn how to rewrite their resume or go into a little bit of an education program that could get them back into society on a good job that they might need, or for that overnight support that they might need. And then just a place where kids and families could come and feel that they could get some education or just some free time to hang out with each other. So we think both the sites, the Sarah Fisher property in Farmington Hills, we know has been sold to a corporation. It looks like it's going to be a senior complex, which is needed in our community. And we feel that, and we've heard that the St. Al's property might not be available to us. But our hope is there still is a piece of property out there that we can do the need assessment, find out what's needed, put a counseling center on this property with the support of the Michigan School of Professional Psychology, where it could be a graduated scale where folks could really come in and get help that they may need or just the support that they might need when they're falling on tough times. So that if there's anybody out there, we have a donor already who has made a very nice contribution that he's holding on to until we can find the right place. But
so we're talking about millions of dollars that are needed.
We're talking.
We have to be honest. We have to let people know we're looking at probably $3 to $5 million to get, especially if it's a brand new structure that needs to be built. But you want to do it the right way the first time. You know, it's so hard to retrofit something. And, you know, maybe these are blessings in disguise that these other places are no longer available, you know, and that we can look at, okay, what can we do? So we really need to let people know that, you know, all it is, you know, there's lots of money hanging around there, believe it or not. There's money in the banks that are not doing anything. And we have to really look at, as you were speaking, Todd, I really think that we have to be so cognizant of listening to our own rhetoric, listening to how we speak, listening to what's on the airways. Because if children are so disenfranchised and they're so confused, well, no wonder they're confused. We have people that are in politics that are acting worse than childish, you know, to no degradation to a child's, you know, trying to figure it out, you know, and it's like they're not leading. We need leaders.
What I would say, Elaine, right now is the reason I feel that this initiative, with the support of Ken Massey, our current mayor, and our former mayor, Jerry Ellis, and a lot of other community support through George Heitch, our superintendent, our city managers of both cities, our former city manager, Steve Brock, all of those folks are supportive of making sure that our community stays as great as it always has been.
Yes.
And we're not the only community that at one time looked very, very affluent, that went through some difficult times. The key to, I think, Farmington, Farmington Hills, and Farmington Public Schools is they are a great team of leaders. They're a great team that loves to work together. The initiative of the after-school program started because all the leadership was there to begin. The money came. The money was something that came afterwards. Really what happened is a group of committed leaders saw a need. The Multicultural Multiracial Council, that came out of a need of seeing a demographic change in our community. So instead of just saying, oh, what are we going to do? They put a group of folks together to embrace it. We then turned around and we had the Mayor's Youth Council. Again, it was, we see a need. How do we help it? Here's another chance. And I think what I've told politicians and I've told folks for many, many years is it's great to continue to give support and money to communities that apparently look like they need it more than somebody else. The key here, and that's why I think if someone wanted to step in, we could also take those dollars, the millions that you talk about, and really build an initiative and build support for families. Use us as a testing pattern, just like many have done with the after-school program.
Yes.
You know, it spun off when we were the first, and not too many people doing middle school ages. Everybody does younger, but middle school was a tough one to start. I can't tell you how many times we have sent information out or spent time or had people come into our office to say, how did you do it? What does it cost? Then to turn around and all these other little initiatives start somewhere and they spin off and someone uses it. And that's the key to it. Everybody should have it. And then you take this initiative now. So our hope is to create some type of model, working with some that already have models in place and being able to put a piece of land, take it and use it for all of the needs that someone may need, and then add that counseling piece to it so folks can really get their lives back to where they can be blessed also.
Yes.
And it's just a matter of time. I mean, everybody can fall on a hard time for short periods, but can we help them get past that short period to have a more successful and blessed life? That's the key.
That's right, because the most valuable thing that we have is our time, our hearts. I mean, you can always make more money. Lord knows they're always manufacturing more money at Fort Knox. That's an illusory thing. But this, what we need is people's time, their heart, their commitment to seeing this is our future.
Well,
this is our future.
You are, and I can tell you, I have my life has been blessed, and I was given the opportunity to go back to school the last couple of years, and it took me a little longer than it should have, but I received my certification to do funerals. And I performed probably somewhere between a lot of funerals this past couple of years. And I have not yet ever written a eulogy for a family and been blessed to lead the conversation around someone's great life. Not one person has ever talked about how much money they had in a family. No one's ever talked about how much success they had. They've always talked about how much they did and what they gave.
That's right.
And so, you know, today is a great day if you're out there listening and you hear this show. Think about how you can make a change in someone's life that you may not even know. Sometimes you don't need to know them. There's some great people doing some great work out there. So
there certainly are.
Yeah.
There certainly are. And you're one of them, Todd. And I'm just completely honored to know you and the work that you're doing and the work that you have continued to do. Again, just for my listening audience, my guest is Todd Lippa, who is the program director of the City of Farmington Hills, Michigan, for the After School Youth Center Program. And he has so many ideas that really could be replicated, should be replicated, should be the spawning ground for other ideas, so that this can be something that is a community-wide, citywide, statewide, nationwide effort to recognize that we're a part of one community, and it's called the human race. And the human race is not defined by ethnicity. It's by choice that we make that definition. We all have the same needs. We all have the same desires. We all have what we want is to have happy, healthy, productive lives. And there's so many people who are disenfranchised, and we don't have to look very far to see what happens when people are disenfranchised. And so we really need to, you know, recognize that there's so much more that we can do. There's so much more that we can do. So, you know, Todd, I want to really continue talking about, you know, what things right now are needs that you see that are really pressing in for kids nationally and kids in our state of Michigan?
Well, you know, I can really talk about what I see in our program for the age group that we have and maybe the high school kids. The piece on technology is a little bit scary to me. I think we need to continue to find ways to engage technology in our kids, but also to find ways to use them, that piece of technology, to teach them how to be a part of a greater society. We have to find ways to get them out to the outside. They have to get out more. There's a real initiative around Michigan, and I know other states and around the country, to get kids involved in the outdoors. And that's a big plus. I mean, we all grew up that way. And I think, I don't ever like to look back and say, well, because we did it, you should do it. But I do think you have to be a part of nature. You have to be a part of life, and you have to be out there with people.
Yes, and it's such a peace and a serenity.
Such a peace.
You know, when you're out in nature and you're just sitting next to a babbling brook, and you can cry or you can sing or you can dance or you could just be yourself. You know, there's something magical and blessed about nature. And I don't mean magical in that it's an illusory thing. It's very palpable, because we forget that this Mother Earth is supporting our very lives. And we need to know that these precious resources that we have are finite if we use them with no discretion.
Yeah. You know, and if I had a magic wand, I would want to just fly over every community and bless them with the dollars that they needed. And I think to open up after-school programs for kids, no matter how big or small their community is, find ways to support them more. We always say that our kids are our greatest asset. They're our future. They're all those beautiful terms that we use. But when you put the money behind them and you put the time behind them and you find caring adults who want to put the time in with them, on those times that they're not in school, I think we do great jobs in our schools and that they need that support. But there is that time after school and until their parents can get out of work, and then those family times. So I think they, if I could bless every community with it, I'd say go start your own after school youth program and give kids the blessing.
Well, and again, you know, Todd Lippa is an expert at this, and I know that he's traveled across the country and he's given a lot of people a lot of advice and said, this is how you do it. We basically have a blueprint, but don't just follow our lead. Make it especially poignant to your community. So Todd can be reached at Todd Lippa, T Lippa, L-I-P-A, at fhgov.com. And he's in the Farmington Hills, Michigan After School Youth Center program. And the work that you're continuing to do, the work that is yet to be done, is bringing these kids that are kids now, you're already seeing that they're going to be the movers and the change agents in our world. And before you know it, they're going to be having their own children, and it continues. And it really does, to use a euphemism, it takes a village. It takes a village. We are not separate entities of ourselves. And as soon as we believe that, then we're lost.
Yeah. And Elaine, it's bigger than a village. We have to spread out our wings and fly around other villages too, because today our kids are more mobile. Our kids are more likely to travel across the boundary. So we have to work as communities together. We have to work as caring people together. And you're right. As you said earlier on, the leadership is really what's important, and we have to develop great leaders. And I think we're starting to see that there's some real blessings that we're starting to see in leadership of kids who are in their 20s and 30s. So I think we're in a good path. We just have to make sure we can develop even better leaders for tomorrow. Because I'm not sure we have the great leaders of today. But I want to, before you end it real quickly, I just want to say thank you to you for all that you do. And if you don't know out there in the listening audience, you should know that this woman has touched more lives than most people I know. And you are definitely that little redhead that runs around with that Irish piece, but you are a blessing to so many, and
thank
God that you are in our community. And you know, you've gone through some tough times yourself and family issues that have dealt with, and your strength is always so beautiful to watch, to support each and every one of us. So God bless you, and thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Todd. Thank you. And again, this is Elaine Grohman, Going Beyond Medicine on Empower Radio. And the focus of the show is to look beyond what is the quick fix. How do we really change our world? And it's people like Todd Lippa, my guest today, who is doing just that. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all you're doing for our kids, for the community, and for ourselves. Because when we live with our hearts open, everyone wins.
Absolutely. God bless you.
Thank you.